at the game and it's Friday night, and you want to make sure that the calls are right. This is high school football rules. There's a hold and a fumble and an illegal pass. Now what do you do, cause you're the ref? Well, this is high school football rules. Well, sit on down and kick right back. You're gonna listen to Luke and Matt. They're talking high school football rules.
Welcome back to another edition of High School Football Rules, where we talk about nothing. And I said this before, Luke, but I really mean it. I mean nothing but high school football rules. Hopefully, we're 10 episodes into this dang thing, and we're getting a ton of downloads. It's great. We're up over to like 600 downloads per episode, which is absolutely nuts. I've been doing another podcast with some buddies for like 3 years now, and we average like 200. Every time we get 200 downloads, it's, you know, we're like celebrating. So it's great. Appreciate everybody listening. We will at the end, and I please, the season starts for me this week. I've got a game. What is today? Sunday. We have a game on Friday in Wisconsin. So it starts this week for me. Things will pop up. Things will get crazy. Things will get hairy, and we need to hear about them. You know, part of the best part about everybody, oh, you know, go out afterwards, have a beer, have whatever. Part of that, the best part of that is hearing weird plays that people hear from all over the place. And, you know, everybody messes up a play, right? Everybody messes up a play. If you don't mess up a play, you're not trying, or you're not really into it, or you're just lying to yourself, because everybody messes up a play. But we need to hear what everybody else either messed up or what they got right or something weird so we can all learn from it. This is a collaborative community. There's no shots at taking people down, anything like that. We want to help each other. That's why you and I are doing this. You're the rules guy. You're a white hat. I'm just a lowly back judge. And so, you know, I need your help with the rules. And I think you could use my help. Just a little bit of game management, Luke, maybe. Maybe just a little bit of, you know, rounding the edges. And I'm saying that with a little bit of tongue in cheek. So, once again, I've got Luke. I got Luke, my brother Luke. Say hi to everybody, Luke.
Hey, everyone. And, again, that's what kind of makes football fun is that if you want to have a ball that bounces up and down the correct way, that's what basketball is for. Football is full of weird things that, you know, never come up until they do. So, there's always a lot of fun stories out there.
And I say this, and I want to say this again, because our dad told us this. Our dad was a white hat in Division III for, I don't know, 20, 30, 35 years, something like that.
I think it was
like
34.
He's 34 years. He's still a white hat, or he's in high school. I'm on his high school crew. Wealth of knowledge. And he nailed this when he told me a long time ago. He said, you know, you get 3 or 4 years in, and you think you nailed it. You're so good. You can be doing a state championship game. And then you get to about 10 years in and you realize you have no idea what the hell you're doing. And that all these people have been doing it for 30 years. You know, I mean, like you just like, I honestly believe this. If the right situation, I could go ref an NBA basketball game right now and look like a hero. But if completely right situations, all that stuff, right? It's when the hairy stuff happens. It's when the S hits the fan. You know, that's when you need to figure out how to manage the moment and manage the situation and not get yourself in trouble, help work people through things. And that's what we, you know, ultimately strive for. And that only comes with time.
Yeah. And the thing I think that separates a young, you know, good official that knows the rules and a very experienced official is the ability to communicate, to talk with coaches, to talk with players. You can be so smooth and not know at all what's in rule number 6 if you can just communicate and help people through situations. So that's something that I think everyone always can improve on is how we talk to people, how we get them from the start of the game to the end of the game, and make everybody kind of smile on the way out of the field.
Yeah. All right. Last episode, we went over the rule changes for 2023. This week, we're going to go over the rule points of or the football points of emphasis, the 2023 football points of emphasis as put out by the NFHS. So let's talk about the 2023 football points of emphasis to begin with. The first one in this bulletin that I've got back in May from the NFHS is regarding helping the runner. Rule changes have been made at the higher levels of football, allowing offensive teams to pile in behind and directly push the runner. Now, I usually say we will talk about nothing, and I mean nothing but high school football. We're not talking about, but here, right here, we're talking about, you know, the rules have been changed at higher levels. Because of these changes, we are now seeing similar plays at the high school level. You know, it's just natural. The coaches, they want to emulate the cool plays they see, and part of that is, you know, watching on Saturdays and Sundays and seeing what the best of the best coaches are coming up with from an offensive standpoint. As guardians of the game, it is imperative that all stakeholders work together to remove, quote-unquote, I'm using my air quotes, helping the runner from our high school game. Administrators, coaches, and football game officials all have responsibility to know, respect, teach, enforce the NFHS rules of high school football. Football is a vigorous, physical, contact game, and for this reason, much attention is given to minimizing risk of injury to all players. Each respective rule code, NFL, NCAA, NFHS, has rules that coincide with the physical development of competing athletes and their goals for the game. You know, I often say this too, like, rarely do you see in a high school game the biggest, baddest guy and the biggest, baddest guy ram heads, you know, like they're two battering rams up on the mountains of the Himalayas, you know, just going at it. Like, it's high school football, there's not that many big hits. There are hits. There are big hits. But it's not like what you see in the NFL. Those guys every week are hitting and laying their bodies on the line. You know, in high school football, you often got the best baseball player who's just a great athlete, so he's going to go out there. He's not going to take a big hit. He's going to tackle a guy at the ankles, things like that.
The level of athleticism is just crazy in the NFL and NCAA as well. You'll have a, you know, 300-pound, 6'5 lineman who can run a, you know, a 5-flat 40. It's like unreal how big and how agile and how fast those guys are. And again, the strategies that they've implemented and approved for keeping their own safety is much different than we have, again, for our you know, the scrubbinis that get in at the end of the game in high school. We're talking about two different types of athletes for the way that we approach these things.
The NFHS Football Rules Committee's main focus is risk minimization, followed closely by assurance of balance between offensive defensive rules. Because players on defense must guard against the pass, they are not able to counter the advantages created by helping the runner formations. Allowing teams to help the runner by illegal techniques swings the balance heavily in favor of the offense. Absolutely true.
Yeah, and here, the point they're making there is that if there's a play where you need 2 yards, and the stuff that we're going to talk about kind of next, you almost assuredly can get it if you have your entire team block in, move forward collectively in what would be considered almost a rugby scrum. They're saying that it's gotten to the point where the defense can't effectively counteract that, right? There's not enough people lined up closely enough to do that in a way that doesn't cause all kinds of mayhem for the defense.
Football game officials need to change their view of quote-unquote helping the runner to a risk issue, clipping, chop blocking, and remove it from the pioneer call category. What's the pioneer call? I don't know what that means. The pioneer call is in quotes too, so I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so they're saying that right now, calling helping the runner would be viewed as a pioneer call. A pioneer is the one guy who's out ahead of everybody else. It's the first person to go into a, this is, you know, pioneers of the Old West, first yeah. person to go into a territory. So when they're calling a pioneer call, they're saying that you'd be the first or the only one who would call it. And what they're asking for is for us to change our view of helping the runner to not be considered a pioneer call, to put it into a category of what we reference as safety fouls here. All the ones that involve the legs, the knees, the things that can hurt you. They want this to now almost, you know,
like,
be the
they
same.
They want it to become
safety.
A regular thing, like not one of those ones that you like, oh, by the way, there is this helping, you know, the finding the deep, dark corners of the rule book. They want it to be in the forefront. Is that, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah. It's not going to be, it should be both from the way we coach and the way that we officiate, a well-known thing that you can't make this play happen the way that we used to.
Okay. So remove it from the pioneer call category and refocus on ending plays when forward progress is stopped. Pushing the pile is legal. Direct contact and pushing, pulling, lifting of the runner is not. So pushing of a pile is legal. Direct contact and pushing, pulling, lifting of the runner is not. Do we need to just talk about that really quickly? I mean, direct contact of pushing. So like if you have a running back that runs up behind the quarterback and just grabs his numbers in the back and just is pushing, that you can't just set up a play to just have four people lined up in a line and are just pushing forward. If it's a pile, a scrum, you can have them come up and kind of push the pile, but you can't focus on, I guess I'm having a little bit of trouble just distinguishing the two.
I think you said it pretty good. The idea of a planned play where it's either the quarterback or one of the running backs, maybe even a fullback, that have a player who intentionally is running behind them to push them. That can be a receiver in motion, or most common, it's quarterback sneak with a running back pushing them in the back. They're saying that when it's kind of planned out to be that, I need a yard, so I'm going to do this, push from behind play. That's the one that we now want to call helping the runner foul. The only other one that they say is, someone's maybe getting tackled, and literally I've seen it before where a lineman like grabs the shoulder pads of the running back and starts pulling them and kind of shuffling backwards so that the runner gets more yards. Those two plays are the ones that fit into this helping the runner category. But the one that we would never have called before is that short kind of, zero gap dive, the quarterback sneak kind of action, that's now going to be a foul this year.
I just, how they do in the NFL, right? We're lined up behind and they start going, and then there's linemen and linemen, they've stopped, they're stopped at the line or whatever, so then linebackers come up and they push the defensive linemen, running backs and tight ends come and push the quarterback. I mean, to me, it's going to have to be pretty darn big and pretty darn obvious that it's a planned play before I call it. Yeah.
The other thing I can think of is, if it's a running play, we're at the end of the play, there ends up being this big kind of scrum thing. That'll be fine. You can push the pile, but it's the one where I snap it, I'm going forward, and someone's coming right behind me. So kind of that, again, the sneak action and third or fourth and short.
Is that a pile though? I mean, if a quarterback sneaks and he's kind of muffled between the guard and the tackle and they're still trying to push for position. I mean, I think it just has to be something where you have to, I'm not a lawyer, but how you prove a law argument, right? Like you try to take the opposite approach and say, if you can prove the opposite, then it's not. So tell me that's not a pile and then I'll throw the flag kind of a thing. I think it's going to have to be one of those ones and it'll be interesting to fumble through. But
again, we're talking fairly immediate pushing in the back of a runner, I think, is a great way to maybe say if it's really right away and it looks like it's just deadhead forward and that's all they were doing, that would be a good one to say that's helping the runner now. If it's after a sweep play and they got out and all of a sudden there's a pile, that's the one that we probably want to just leave the way we call it today. It's that immediate is probably the best thing to focus on.
I know personally, until somebody tells me different, I'm going to go with they're pushing the pile, and pushing the pile is legal until it's not a pile and it's not a push. But that's me. So,
well, and as the back judge, you probably don't have as much
I'm
concern.
Not calling anything. Yeah. I'm not calling anything. I can tell you that. Every once in a great while, if I don't think the wings can see the ball, because you don't never blow the whistle, right? You don't play to the whistle anymore. That's out of there because we don't blow the whistle if we don't see the ball. I mean, you can see their wings, I'll take a quick glance. You can see them kind of looking their head. They're trying to see if they see the ball, right? If I can see the ball and the guy's just being held up and somebody's punching at it, that's about once every four games I'll blow the whistle and just say, look, I'm helping you out here, guys. Progress was stopped. I could see that you were looking for it. And I might get in trouble for it every once in a while, but in the spirit of the game and how, there's only five of us. They can't see the ball. Don't blow the whistle. That's about the only time I do. Otherwise, I have a finger whistle. I don't even have one in the lanyard because, I just rarely ever use a whistle as a back judge, but that's just me. Let's keep going here. The NFHS Code of Ethics states, coaches shall master the contest rules and shall teach the rules to their team members. Coaches shall not seek an advantage by circumvention of the spirit or letter of the rules. Coaches have a tremendous influence for good or ill on the education of the student, and thus shall never place the value of winning above the value of instilling the highest ideals of character. I just want to say quickly, I've been doing this 18 years. I can't say that I've mastered the contest rules. I don't think there's any white hat barely who's mastered the contest rules. I had a white hat last year that I filled on a team with, and he had a kickoff and completely fumbled the rules, right? And you know how the administration is. It's such a weird game. There's so many different scenarios, So coaches, they're like us. They can't be expected to know everything. They ask questions. Great. We can try to help them as much as we possibly can, but they're not going to be experts most of the time either.
Yeah, and this is a great point. Since it's a point of emphasis this year, we're going to talk about pre-games and activities we do ahead of it. This is something great to talk to a coach about ahead of time. Hey, did you know what they brought up about helping the runner? And if they say no, well, then let's have a conversation about what's changed, what's expected, and then we can always, you know, either after the game or then the following week, share the email that's given us the instruction so they see verbatim the same thing we're trying to now enforce on behalf of the Federation.
If school administrators, athletic directors truly believe that activities are an extension of a classroom, which I, you know, I could never be a teacher, but I like to think this is just my little way of helping out, you know. I mean, like, it's a great life skill. I learned so much from playing football. That's why I continue to ref all that jazz, right? They must be actively involved with programs that supervise and redirect coaches when they observe them teaching prohibited tactics. I mean, that's basically the job of the athletic director, right? I mean, you're in charge of your teams. You have to be able to hear if something's going wrong and make a change. Removing, quote-unquote, helping the runner from high school football will at times be met with resistance. School administrative support of football game officials, refocus of coaches, and education of players will lead to smooth transition. All those directly involved in our great game must stay committed to trying to minimize risk to all players and maintain the balance between offensive and defensive play. I get, you know, that balance between offense and defense, I get it. I mean, that's the one thing that maybe makes more sense to me than anything, is that you're just trying to make sure that there's equitable play between the two sides of the ball.
Well, and on the safety side of it, I mean, the way you stop this kind of thing is you dive at the legs of the offensive players and make a pile yourself, and you try to just make it so that there's no place for that person to run or get pushed through.
Yeah.
So you're now on the bottom of what's a bunch of people trying to run over you, essentially.
Yeah.
So, again, yeah, it makes sense for me from a safety standpoint, especially for interior defensive linemen. It could be hazardous and they could get stepped on or other things, right?
Yep. All right. Point of emphasis number two, communication. I mean, isn't this every year? Communication between coaches and game officials. Coaches and game officials must demonstrate respect for one another. This mutual appreciation is the foundation of appropriate and professional communication. Football is an emotional game. I'm going to repeat that 13,000 times. Football is an emotional game. Football is an emotional game. I'll stop there. I'm sorry. Coaches and game officials must realize that competition often leads to intense interactions on the field. Both must work together and strive to manage verbal and nonverbal exchanges in ways that avoid escalating conflict. And I'll just say this. We fly in an hour before the game, and this is high school. You know, I know you college guys often do way more than we do, right? But we fly in. We might listen to some clips that your league sends out, things like that. We got a few things to do, right? We fly in an hour before the game. We're there for the 2 hours of the game, and then we go out for a beer afterwards or a burger or whatever you do after the game, and that's about it. These coaches, and I've got good friends that are coaches, it's their life during the fall, right? I mean, they've got a game on Friday. Well, Saturday is JV, and then they're getting ready for the game. Maybe they've got Sunday off. Monday, they're teaching, and then they have so much time invested in this. You have to just allow them to be emotional. As long as they're not getting nuts, right? You have to realize that it's an emotional game. You have to be able to take 10-second pause and just say, Coach, I'm going to talk to you here, but I need you to just take it down a notch so we can have a conversation. And if you allow them to have 6 to 8 seconds to calm down a little bit, usually you have a much better relationship with those coaches and much better communication than trying to continually top them. You can't yell at me. No, you don't know the rule. You know, all that stuff. And so if you talk slowly and just say, Coach, and I found this, I need for us to be able to talk in a nice tone here, or something like, you know, have your lines, have what you need to do, but trying to get 5 to 8 seconds of calm does wonders for everybody.
Yeah, and calm is a great word there. De-escalation is what we do as officials, right? We're kind of, again, we're the referees in this whole thing. We're supposed to be fair and balanced. And when a coach gets, you know, angry, emotional, excited, whatever term that you have for them, being able to talk through them or talking with them. And my big request when I talk to a coach like that is I want to make sure we're doing that on the sideline. I'll take time out in the game. I'll come over. I don't want it to be in the middle of the field. So anything that is emotional, you know, gets heightened by everybody seeing it. So, you know, it's our job. It's kind of, I don't want to say you have to be the bigger person, but it's our job to make sure that communication stays open. And again, you said it earlier, weird things happen. No one ever gets a perfect game. We mess things up and we're not infallible, right? There's probably times where coaches are correct that we mess something up. We didn't see something, and being able to admit that, or just take it down a level to where, coach, I'm sorry, we'll work on getting better, but we missed that one. That hopefully allows us to move on to the next play. And that's anytime I'm having an interaction with a coach, getting him calmer and on to the next play is my main goal.
Just don't lie. I mean, the coaches know when you're lying. Yeah. You know, you can't lie. Well, you know, his left foot was pivoted this way, so, you know, that angle was just, so I thought he just got around him enough to push him in the back. You know, like BS, right? Like, you kick the call. You know, it happens. Just admit it, move on. So here, this next paragraph, I mean, it kind of goes with everything that we just summarized. So game officials must recognize their role in the game. Recognize. To provide a service to the coaches and student athletes in an unemotional and impartial manner. It's hard to be unemotional sometimes, even as an official, but it shouldn't be hard to be impartial. It should not be hard, in my opinion. Now, that's just my opinion. Everybody's got their different ways that they tick. Game officials must always be respectful and maintain a calm demeanor in their comments to coaches, especially when tension is high. Game officials must avoid the urge to argue with coaches who disagree with their decisions. Coaches may ask questions, and game officials should make every effort to be approachable, actively listen, and provide correct and complete answers as soon as possible. Game officials should aim to be direct and concise in their communication of essential information. When emotions are running especially high, game officials should de-escalate tension and demonstrate empathy and understanding of the coach's perspective. Game officials must anticipate circumstances where coaches may become upset and preemptively defuse the situation. Telling the truth usually helps that, because usually they're really pissed off when something bad happened, we made the wrong call, or they disagree with our call. So we must, you know, really understand those situations.
Well, and the other thing that's been really good in the last, I don't know if it's been 5 to 10 years, depending upon when you started, is using the official-to-official communication devices.
Oh, big
time. We use walkie-talkie. So when something does happen goofy down the field, across the field, where either as the sideline official or as the referee, I don't know what happened there because I was looking at something, you know, closer by what I'm supposed to be doing. You can get the information very quickly, either to that your other sideline partner, or as the ref, I can get it very quickly. So that has helped. I think that's been a big improvement for us getting answers in a timely fashion. But yeah, getting the information to the sideline is a very nice thing that we've kind of added on with the O2O stuff.
And you know, the coach, they've got like real-time video they can watch now too, I think, which has helped me. We had a Cooper High School. Coach Willie over there is a great dude. He does wonderful things. Great coach, all that stuff, right? So I'm the back judge. They have a fly pattern going down the opposite side of the field, so the visitor sidelines. Their receiver is running. He goes up with one hand because he's holding the other guy's hand down, right? And from 80 yards away, it looks you see a receiver go up with one hand, you think that the D-back is holding him down, right? And so he is livid, right? And not like in a bad way. He's just an emotional guy to begin with. He is like, why is he only jumping with one hand? Why is he only jumping with one hand? You know, and so he's yelling at Pat, our partner, over who's on his side. And so, again, really quickly, I could say, Pat, the receiver was holding down the D-back. I don't know why he only went up with one hand, but the receiver was holding down the D-back's arms. You know, so then a play later, Willie says, hey, gives me a thumbs up. You're absolutely right. Good call, kind of thing, right? But like in the old days, he would have never had the ability to look at the film, you know, on his iPad.
Until Saturday morning, right? Yeah.
Until Saturday morning. And he would have just been fuming, you know what I mean? But if you can say those things and not, again, not lying, but I'm like, hey, I'm right there. Your guy is holding his arm. So that, again, that's just a situation that happened to me that I know you have to be able to explain those things though, right? Looks horrible. Anytime a receiver goes up with one hand, it looks horrible. Right? That's he's being held or something. Somehow he's being infracted. But that was just a real time. It was like a play and a half, right? So it was like 5 minutes and we were all good again. But
yep. Good.
A game official should never threaten the coach with consequences for their behavior. God, why would you don't do that? Nor should a game official become defensive. I mean, every once in a while, you have to become a little defensive, right? I mean, you have to throw up walls every once in a while, but you cannot do, you know, threat and consequence.
Yeah, I mean, defensive is kind of a funny word. I mean, we want interaction with the coach to be respectful. Now, defensive is saying like, I mean, that's kind of getting personal attack-wise.
Yeah.
So that word specifically sends out like, hopefully there's not something where you need to be defensive.
Right.
We want something that was maybe looked at in that respect to be more just respectful as opposed to defensive. I guess that's what we're aiming for.
If a coach exhibits inappropriate behavior and crosses the line, the game official may choose to penalize the coach for unsportsmanlike conduct. However, throwing a flag should be a last resort. A better approach is to clearly and calmly tell the coach that the comments or behaviors are unacceptable and that it's difficult to focus on the on-field action if a coach continues to distract the game official. Best line I've ever heard is that, what is, you know, our job, again, this whole thing about the classroom or whatever, you know, is I'm just trying to teach these kids how to handle themselves in high stress situations. And you are not helping, coach. You and I can work together to help these kids learn how to handle high stress situations. And I did that in a basketball game once. And this guy, you know, I forget where it was at, but this guy, you know, I said that because the two best players were just going at it. And they're just swinging, you know, they're not swinging, you know, they're playing really hard and they're going back and forth. And then, you know, and he says, what are we doing? What are you talking to these guys for? And I go, trying to teach these guys how to handle stressful situations and not get fouls.
I think I was working with you.
Were you?
I think it was Egan High School.
Yeah. And he's throwing his hands in the air. And, you know, there was a timeout. He comes over, he's got his hands up. He goes, you know, Matt, you're probably right, but I just think we should keep the game going. I go, you know, I can't disagree with you, coach. It'd be great if the game just kept moving without all these interruptions, right? And he was great after that. But
yeah, and what you were doing was trying to talk to two players rather than letting it escalate to the point of whacking them with tees or technical fouls.
Yeah, don't tech here, tech there. Yeah, that's really going to help the situation. Just stop
the
game.
Yeah, that brings it up higher.
So coaches model acceptable and unacceptable behavior for their student athletes. And again, the coaches, the ones who handle themselves in a great way, their student athletes always handle themselves in a great way, or at least they don't take it to that next level. If coaches disrespect game officials and make derogatory comments, players will behave in the same way. Coaches should win with grace and lose with dignity. Coaches must understand the football field is an extension of the classroom and must exhibit proper conduct. This includes respecting the decision of game officials even when they disagree and handling differences of opinion in a civil and dignified manner. Dialogue with game officials should be constructive and respectful, not confrontational. Handling disagreements in a businesslike manner teaches players good sportsmanship, which is a perennial focus for the NFHS. And again, we're talking too long here, but I just love talking about this stuff. You know, you have these old coaches, right? And they've been around the block. And sometimes they get a little loud, but they understand, like, what good is arguing with a ref's going to do? It's not going to do any good. And you know what? If I have to try to dissuade the ref into making a call for something, well, you know, it's probably my fault anyways for calling the wrong player and not teaching right. Or, you know, it's not just the ref's fault.
Well, and it's kind of funny. If you change around the perspective of everyone involved here, coaches, you have parents that have children that act poorly, right? And it's probably been taught at home to them that same way. Yeah. And I mean, we look at it the same way. We look to you to be the adult in the conversation for your team. And again, your example is what the expectation is for your players. It definitely, I guess, poor attitudes breed more poor attitudes when you see it that way.
Yeah. A line I don't use anymore, but it's usually a good one as well. You're either teaching it or accepting it, coach. One of the two. You're either teaching them to act this way or you're accepting it. You know, you're not doing anything about it, and so then we have to do it. That gets a little defensive, so I've tried not to use that one. But every once in a great while, it's like, well, you're teaching this guy to be a dink, or you're allowing it. You know, one of the two. So I don't know. Coaches and game officials have a professional responsibility to demonstrate respect for one another and communicate appropriately. Coaches and game officials love the game and desire to positively impact young people. Proper communication during competition teaches players a valuable life lesson about conflict resolution.
Hallelujah. That's exactly what we've been talking about.
Yeah. Game management. Each school community must take pride in hosting an athletic contest or event. Proper advance planning is key to an orderly, secure, safe, and enjoyable activity. Planning begins with clearly defined tasks for game administration and event personnel. Beginning with the arrival of players, game officials, and spectators, each school must have a purposeful plan to address any and all expected issues as well as the unforeseen. Preparation begins with clear and concise communication between the host and competing schools regarding the logistics of arrival and departure. Meeting and greeting the visiting team is certainly the beginning of a good sportsmanship. Clearly communicated information, such as parking information, location of ticket booths, and entry gates, when given to the visitors, is another step in assuring a great experience for all participants. Game officials should be afforded the same communication considerations given the visiting school community. Host administration must provide accurate information for the officiating crew so as to ease any pregame apprehension or uncertainty. Clear, concise communication is of utmost importance. Having assigned personnel to greet game officials and address all the pregame and postgame needs is a bare minimum for the host school. Yeah, like making sure there's hot dogs and water at halftime. Security of game officials must be an absolute priority. Make sure the locker room is properly supervised and access is limited to proper personnel only. During the game, security of game personnel begins with ensuring that the sidelines is properly secured and the playing field is restricted to essential game personnel. For safety and security reasons, essential game personnel would include game participants, reporters, photographers, and game administration. All other non-essential personnel, moms with their cameras, should be located in the bleachers. All non-participants on the event level should be credentialed and restricted to being no closer than 2 yards from the sideline. What? 2 yards from the sideline?
Yeah, that's too close. Well, that's the white where the team box is. It's got 2 yards. That's the white. And then there usually is the dash marks around the field. Now, here, the one thing I'll say, just kind of my own thing about this, every photographer that is credentialed and is supposed to be there, they love standing exactly on the goal line.
Yeah.
And that's the one spot where officials can't let the play happen and go in front of them.
Yep.
Our job, our mechanic as officials is we start either get to the goal line or start on the goal line. If we're there, we back straight up. And that could be all the way to the track if there's enough people running at us fast enough, right? So that's the one thing that as an official, I ask anytime that those people are set up there, go to the one. I even say go 5 yards into the end zone, but don't be right at the goal line because that's the only time that I'm going to accidentally back up and smash your, you know, $1,000 lens, which I don't want to do. You don't want me to do either. So that's the one spot, if you're listening to this and kind of have that role, please don't be right at the goal line. That's the one spot we need
to be. Well, and it's also the one thing that officials, we can be a little nicer to these people. They are there. They do have the right to be there, but they should be able to listen. And if they don't, it's not your job to yell at them. Tell the site administrator, look, we need to work, they need to work, but we need that space right there. I don't care what publication you're working for, you know, we need to be there. Otherwise, it's unsafe for us to work this game. So just shouldn't be getting your blood pressure up as the white hat or the wing guy or anybody, you know, to have to deal with that. Just let the site administrator work with that. Game officials are responsible for securing the team boxes and coaches area. Sideline management begins with a consistent enforcement of game rules pertaining to the restricted area of the team box. The restricted area is designated to make the sidelines safe for all participants to give game officials ample space to work. Game administration should be alert to requests of game officials and addressing problems beyond the team box and coaches area. I'm going to bring this up one time. Pat on our crew is great with this, right? I think we as officials get too worked up about in-between plays. The coaches are just trying to coach. You know, there's nothing going on. And what he does every game is he goes up and he brings all of the assistant coaches on his sideline. And he brings them together and says, look, I'm going to let you do what you need to do. But as soon as that ball is ready for play, you need to be back. If you're not back, you know, if I'll let you work here. But when it's my time to be in the zone, you got to be back. And as long as we are all on the same page here, that when nothing's happening, go out, talk to your players, signal whatever you got to do. But as long as you're back, you know, ready to play, you're going to be back, right? And he looks them all in the eye, right, right, right. And they all say, and they think it's the greatest thing in the world because, you know, nobody ever tells them like, hey, just do your job. You're trying to work with these kids, but hey, but just realize this when it's my turn to play, you know, like I need this zone. You know, and it works wonders. And then everybody loves him. They ask questions. They ask it in a nice way. They think that he's actually working with them. And I can't stress it. Just work with those guys. Don't come in there to say, this is my, you get out of there. You know, get out of this zone. That's where the refs are, right? If you just work with them, it goes so far in this world.
And it's funny because he's the one person that probably ever tells them that. And so he puts them right on their back heels, kind of, well, this is different. So I love that. And again, it may not be a tactic for everybody, but I know your crewmate there, he's one of the best.
He's also like 6'4", and like, I don't know, he's been around forever. So he's got the physical presence to tell them all too, like, right? Like, yep, okay. And so then, yeah, it works great. The conduct of non-participants is the domain of game and school administration. Not the officials, game and school administration. Expectations for the behavior of spectators and other attendees should be clearly and repeatedly communicated to all attendees. This comes in, the band is the one that gets our white hat every once in a while, because the band directors, again, God bless them. I love it when bands are playing, especially in basketball, but football too, right? You got to love them. But cripes, when the other team is trying to run a play or something like that, and it shouldn't be playing, you know, and just understand when you should and shouldn't be playing. But the ref shouldn't have anything to do with that. Tell the administrators to handle that.
Yeah, and again, if there's a parent or someone loud and obnoxious, I always laugh at this is a Scholastic event. If you were going to yell that way at the play, would it fit? And no, it wouldn't. You know, that's another school event. You can't yell at a kid who is a terrible actor. Don't yell at students. Don't yell at the refs. I mean, you're in public.
Cheer for your team and your team. I mean, gee, cripes. It's high school athletes. God bless them. The reading of a sportsmanship script before the game is one method of communicating expectation. I think it gets drawn out. I mean, it gets a little dulled out because they are read all the time now. But whatever, it's still a good recommendation. Good sportsmanship must become part of the culture of any school community. Behavior not acceptable in the school's hallways. Well, you're just talking about this. Should not be acceptable on the courts or playing fields. Absolutely. Appropriate conduct of the public address announcer is vital to the game atmosphere. Oh, my goodness. Is there... this is dragging on, Luke, and I apologize, but I have to get this up. Is there anything worse than the public address announcer who loves to hear their own voice and who thinks they're a comedian?
Yeah.
Nothing worse. I don't even, there's some spot where this guy, like, you know, you're putting the ball down, he'll go, you know, and he's trying to be funny. Like, you're not funny. If you're announcing a high school football game, you're not a comedian. Just stop.
The public address announcers. Leave that to the shock jocks that are, you know, doing the morning drive or whatever, right?
Exactly.
Don't need it Friday night.
Exactly. The public address announcer must be the first line of sportsmanship and must exemplify expected and acceptable conduct. The goal of the public address announcer is to inform and not entertain. Hallelujah. Maybe next year they should put that at the top of the points of emphasis. Giving play-by-play of game action and or critiquing game officials is unacceptable. The public address announcer must be positive and respectful to all involved in the game. Let's see. Minimal game administration expectations. Clearly communicate event itinerary. This is just a little summary here. Required field markings and game equipment, clock operators, line-to-gain crew, game official accommodations, visiting team accommodations, support personnel, medical personnel, security personnel, hospitality for game personnel and administrator, inclusive of game officials. There you go. We got right there. I mean, that's cripes. That's the point of emphasis for this year.
There's a lot of good stuff.
Well, you're at the game and it's Friday night, and you want to make sure that the calls are right. This is high school football rules. There's a hole and a fumble and an illegal pass. Now, what do you do? Because you're the ref. Well, this is high school football rules. Well, sit on down and kick right back. You're going to listen to Luke and Matt. They're talking high school football. Talking high school.